How do?
What's that?
Just fake it.
Oh, okay.
Just fake it. Sure. Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl podcast. My name is Daniel J. Rowe. You might have remembered me. You might remember me from former podcasts on this very same feed. With me is someone else you may remember, named Eric S. John.
Hey, I don't know where the S comes from. I inherit initials.
Yeah, I kind of make them up as I go along. We have not done a... We're a little nervous. We haven't done a Sonnet podcast in a fortnight at least.
Yes, a while.
What is a fortnight?
Isn't a fortnight 2 weeks? A period of 2 weeks?
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. We haven't done it in at least 2 weeks. I would say a little longer than that. So due to massive demand from Bard Brawl Nation to produce a Sonnet podcast, we felt necessary. Yeah. We necessarily had to
necessarily
do this. So we're going to go pound for pound with Shakespeare's sonnets.
That's right.
Like a cat and a squirrel.
In Studio B.
In Studio B. We're at Studio B at Bard Brawl Studio B at Eric Jean's house. It's nice.
Yeah, unfortunately, Rochelle is sick.
It's different. Oh. Yeah, that is too bad.
Yeah.
We'll try and be quiet or not enhance her sickness. Yeah. That work?
Just, like, not... We'll try not to, like, prod her.
Right? Yeah.
Like, it's sort of...
Good. Yeah. So, for you Bard Brawlers who do like the sonnets, you can go to bardbrawl.com and click the sonnets tab, the poems tab, and then go to sonnets, and you can listen to the first 29 sonnets that we recorded and discussed. We look at the sonnets and just give a little comment, a note here and there, and see if we can help everybody dissect.
Yeah, and I'll be writing up, as usual, my little translation of you know
what he's talking about. If you are interested, in our first volume of Zounds is actually sonnet themed, sonnets 1 through 17. You can buy that at barbell.com by clicking on the Zounds tab. Now, without further ado, let's listen to sonnet 30.
And now the Bard Brawl presents the reading of a sonnet by William Shakespeare, the selectionist number 30, as read by Gerard James Fisher.
When to the sessions of sweet silent thought I summon up remembrance of things past, I sigh the lack of many a thing I sought, and with old woes new wail my dear time's waste. Then can I drown an eye unused to flow for precious friends hid in death's dateless night, and weep of fresh love's long since cancelled woe, and moan the expense of many a vanished sight. Then can I grieve at grievances foregone, and heavily from woe to woe tell o'er the sad account of fall bemoaned moan, which I knew pay as if not paid before. But if the while I think on thee, dear friend, all losses are restored and sorrows end.
Brilliant reading.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my all-time favorites.
I like this one. This is it's a pretty popular one too.
Yeah. What do you like about this one?
I like it because it's popular, and if I say I like it, people will like me.
Oh, yeah. That's a good reason.
I like the sort of image of it, right? Which is like this kind of courtroom. And he's sort of imagining that his mind is like a courtroom, and he can summon people kind of like witnesses to relive these past events, these like that from these people that are dead or gone, but that like whatever, and I think it's sort of supposed to be like a debtor's court basically, where like someone's tallying up like you owe such and such money and whatever, and then when he thinks about the person that he loves, it's like, oh, it's, you know what, it's all good, I don't miss any of that stuff, everything's okay. And
you don't find it a little bleak, talking about, you know, people who have died and things you sought that have all gone?
I thought sonnets were supposed to be about love, Daniel.
Yeah. Sort of.
I guess.
Don't.
It's a little bleak. A little bleak, but I like that.
Yeah, I don't mind the melancholy. I just think it's a little sad. Whenever you're doing a remembrance sonnet, they tend to be a little bit sad because you're talking about things that are gone, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's a few of them in the 30s that are kind of the same kind of remembrance, melancholic tone to them. So.
All right. Well, let's take on number 31 then. Here is Jack Konorska, who's going to give us a doubleheader. Get ready for Jack.
Thy bosom is endeared with all which I by lacking have supposed dead, and there reigns love in all love's loving parts, and all those friends which I thought buried. How many a holy and obsequious tear hath dear religious love stolen from mine eye, as interest of the dead which now appear. But things removed that hidden in thee lie. Thou art the grave where buried love doth live, hung with the trophies of my lovers gone, who all their parts of me to thee did give. That due of many is now thine alone. Their images I loved I view in thee, and thou, all they, hast all the all of me.
Ah, Jack, such an excited reader, so emotive.
I miss him.
It's delightful. This is the first time, yeah. Mm. Wow, that was sad.
I miss him.
Yeah, appropriate.
Exactly.
We did the first 29, we had all girl sonneteers. Then, because I have a bit of a obsessive compulsive disorder, I had the next 20 all male readers, and they start to get a little goofier as we've seen. Which I appreciate.
You have to, some of these you just kind of have to lighten up a little.
So it's easy to see how they're connected. The two first two would suggest that maybe they're grouped.
Yeah, the groupings with these are always kind of weird and fluid. You can make a lot of arguments that certain sections go together and that the stories continue, but you can also... You know, plenty of people would also argue that they're not really connected and they're two separate things. But if they are connected, then, yeah, it seems like this person is hoarding all of, like, it's like all their memories and all of their experiences are tied into this person. And this, like, if the last one was sad, this one's like, like, nothing without you, basically.
Yeah, well, any, is it a little bit of that, I thought... It was gone, but it's still here. The pain of you not being like,
yeah.
Dang it! I thought I got over that girl, and now she's still here.
Why does she have to be dating my best friend?
Well, not even that. I think she's gone. She's in another city, and you're creeping her face. The good thing they didn't have Facebook, because this type of guy who wrote this sonnet would be creeping her Facebook page.
Yeah, that'd be a little Twitter stalking.
There. Yeah, is it? The dead appear, like they come back. Is that, that's sort of been the theme of these two things, kind of an undead, walking dead zombie type of thing.
That's what poetry is. It's undead zombie living. It's supposed to make you relive or remember or entomb things.
Well, that's what I thought. So all of you that are writing essays for any Shakespeare class, just relate it to zombies. And if your professor or teacher has a problem with that, tell them the Bard Brawl told you so.
MLA style, please.
All right, Jack, one more time. Let's take us to Sonnet 32.
Sonnet 32. If thou survive my well-contented day, when that churl death my bones with dust shall cover, and shalt by fortune once more resurvey these poor rude lines of thy deceased lover. Compare them with the bettering of the time, and though they may be outstripped by every pen, reserve them for my love, not for their rhyme, exceeded by the height of happier men. Oh, then vouchsafe me from this loving thought, had my friend's muse grown with this growing age,
a dearer birth than this his love had brought, to march in ranks of better equipage. But since he died, and poets better prove, theirs for their style I'll read, his for his love.
Aww, that's a nice one.
Yeah.
Still dealing with death and everything, but yeah. What do you make of this one?
Like, might want to lump this one with the first two, right? It's sort of building up to this. I've gathered up all these memories, but I know I like it. It's like, you know, my poetry is really not that great, but I hope that you keep it because I wrote it. Like, I hope that you keep it because you love me and you want to keep it around, even though, you know, you'll read other people's poems because they're better, but you'll keep mine because they mean something special.
Who is he addressing? Sort of dressing, is it Muse? Is it what is he? It seems to be an address. Compare them.
I think he's addressing the person that he's writing the poetry about. Mm. So I guess the boy or the woman that he's writing a lot of these for, and he's saying, you know, if you outlive me, then hold on to these.
Yeah, and the birth of love outshines, outlives death.
Well, he's basically saying that, you know, he wants him to think, if only as he got older he actually became much better as a poet, then the poetry would be so much better. But that's okay. I'm keeping these because they're...
Well...
Because Daniel wrote them.
Well, William Shakespeare, I will just have to say to you that we're still reading your poems, so don't feel so bad.
False modesty. I don't remember what there's an actual literary term for it, and I can't remember now.
Self-deprecation?
No, that's anagnorisis. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's move on. We've got another new sonneteer, Mr. Dave Candiston, who also left us. Why does everybody leave us? Oh, appropriately so. Here's the next sonnet.
Full many a glorious morning have I seen, flatter the mountaintops with sovereign eye, kissing with golden face the meadows green, gilding pale streams with heavenly alchemy, anon permit the basest clouds to rise, with ugly rack on his celestial face, and from the forlorn world his visage hide, stealing unseen to west with this disgrace. Even so, my son, one early morn did shine, with all triumphant splendor on my brow. But out alack, he was but 1 hour mine. The region cloud hath masked him from me now. Yet him for this my love no whit disdaineth. Sons of the world may stain when heaven's sun staineth.
Yeah, that West Coast has really claimed a lot of our people.
Mm.
Zoe, Second J, Dave Candiston, Jack. Well, he is actually from there.
I guess, but...
If it takes Jay Reed, I'm just going to war. I'm starting a militia and I'm going out there.
But Jay Reed still lives in Montreal.
If they
still
take...
We don't see him.
Yeah, that's true. Every now and then he pops up here and there.
That's true. I was hoping we'd see him yesterday, anyways.
Yeah, trivia night at Brutopia. Mondays. Where
we cleaned up.
Every fourth Monday is when I host. Monday. But yes, were you proud of your team last night? Finally.
My expectations were low, so yeah. Although I think Andre shouldered large portion of the burden. at least, maybe not so much the second round, but the first round there were a couple that he wrote down right away without consulting the team, and just was like,
"I've been that guy at a trivia night before, but now I'm the host, so I can't be that."
Yeah.
But I noticed he got the one Sarah Palin's Instagram.
Yeah, he didn't even miss a beat.
He was the only one who got it. Sarah Palin, for those of you who don't know, took a picture of her son standing on her dog's spine to wash his dishes. The son is a six-year-old and has cerebral palsy, so shouldn't be made fun of. But Sarah Palin should be, because she should tell her son to not
stand on a dog's spine.
There you go. So what did you think of Dave Candiston's reading of Sonnet 33, Full Many a Glorious Morning I Have Seen?
I love it. I love the girl's reading, but the guy's reading is a different energy. Mm-hmm. And it actually, I guess if you're thinking that, you know, Shakespeare's writing as himself, it kind of makes sense to have the guys read to read some of these.
Yeah, it's like we've said this a bunch of times that what I appreciate about the sonneteers and the readings at the end is hearing different voices reading, all sort of enunciating differently. Mm-hmm. I like when they make mistakes or just
try different things. And different rhythm.
Because it's all the same standard style, right? So if you have one reader, yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of repetition in these poems and images that come back and sort of patterns. And
this poem seems to me like a standard sunrise poem. It's sort of like unveiling the day, and then of course the ugly rack on his celestial face. And then it sort of changes. It's not. There's not a lot to this one.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in thinking that? That it's just sort of a.
Well, it didn't blow me away. I guess I'm trying to make sense of the last little bit. The sons of the world may stain when heaven's sun staineth. He's describing that the sun is sort of making everything golden, right? Like it's rising and there's dew everywhere and everything sort of takes on that shine. And then I guess the stain is the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's it. I guess the stain would be red, right?
Right, yeah.
And so the sons of the world may stain, so you can sort of feel the stab, the pain of losing them, if the sun itself can sort of stab the sky and stain it red.
It's a bit of a circle, like a rising dawn and then setting sun, and that's sort of an analogy to this his lover's
I wonder if the next life? One. I wonder if the next one picks up on this, because often they sort of link them up, right? So that means we'd be due for another sunrise.
Ah, well, you know who's bringing this one home, this podcast, Mr. First J. Reed with Sonnet 34.
Sonnet 34. Why didst thou promise such a beauteous day, and make me travel forth without my cloak, to let base clouds o'ertake me in my way, hiding thy bravery in their rotten smoke? 'Tis not enough that through the cloud thou break, to dry the rain on my storm-beaten face. For no man well of such a salve can speak, that heals the wound and cures not the disgrace. Nor can thy shame give physic to my grief. Though thou repent, yet I have still the loss. The offender's sorrow lends but weak relief to him that bears the strong offense's cross. Ah, but those tears are pearl which thy love sheeds, and they are rich and ransom all ill deeds.
Okay, J. Reed, lovely. As per normal, does this answer your questions from Sonnet 33?
Well, I think it's connected.
What I find, this is what I saw in the connection. The Sonnet 33 is very natural, very absent of human, and then it comes directly to an address type poem. That's kind of how I read it, how he's questioning him directly. Sort of. Although he's still sort of talking to the day.
Yeah, but you can sort of see like how the last poem ends. It describes, okay, the sun rises and then it sets. And this, you sort of get the impression, okay, this is like the next day. And he's like, he doesn't have an iPhone to check the weather. So he's like, hey, right? Of course, he's not really talking about the weather.
What?
He's sad.
Oh, the weather is a metaphor.
Yeah, I'm guessing this describes a fight, actually, like an argument, right? Like it seemed like everything was going to be great, and then you know, when I was sort of unguarded and not ready for it, like the rain came down, and like there's sort of a tempestuous like mood swings, I guess, and that even though like the mood swings. Like, you know, he says he's sorry. That doesn't really sort of fix the problem. But then, you know, when he's clearly sad and crying about it, it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess it wasn't such a big deal. And things go back to normal. But I think storm clouds are looming.
Yeah, what it speaks to is the continual nature of, like, you don't fight and then apologize and it's over. There's still sometimes lingering pains and...
Yeah.
and whatnot.
And the people that you love have a like an emotional hold on you that, like, if it's someone you didn't know, you might still be angry and pissed off and carry it, but because it's someone you care about, you're like, oh, you know what, it's you sort of let it slide, and you find yourself I guess not acting against your best interest, but maybe avoiding fights that you might pick if it was with someone else.
But those tears are pearl which thy love sheds. I would assume it's sheds. And
I guess.
They are rich and all and ransom all in deeds. The idea that there's a beauty in that sadness.
Yeah.
Is that sort of the?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap it with one more, because we mentioned Andre, and because he did such a great job at Trivia Night last night.
That's true.
We do have to.
He's our MVP for sure.
He's the MVP. So yeah. We'll go into Sonnet 35 and just see if we can continue on that theme, and it probably will.
And today, the Bard Brawl brings to you Sonnet number 35, read by myself, Andre Simoneau. No more be grieved at that which thou hast done. Roses have thorns and silver fountains mud. Clouds and eclipses stain both moon and sun, and loathsome canker lives in sweetest bud. All men make faults, and even I in this, authorizing thy trespass with compare, myself corrupting, salving thy amiss, excusing thy sins more than thy sins are. For to thy sensual fault I bring incense, thy adverse party is thy advocate, and gainst myself a lawful plea commence. Such civil war is in my love and hate, that I an accessory needs must be to that sweet thief which sourly robs from me.
Indeed, we do.
Someone else in the mix.
Civil war is in my love and hate. There is someone else in the mix. This is a good sonnet. I like it.
Yeah.
What do you see in Sonnet 35?
I see that. I guess, like I was talking about the previous one, where you're sort of struggling with yourself over, you know, I should really be pissed off and what this person did, and I should sort of not get over it, but I sort of can't help but argue against myself on their behalf. Like, oh, he didn't really mean it, and it wasn't such a big deal after all, and he apologized, and oh, I guess it's fine. I guess, like, you know, I guess I'm making a big deal out of nothing. And so that way while you should be sort of asking the other person, holding the other person accountable for what they've done, you instead are like serving as their lawyer to argue to yourself, like, oh, it's okay, Daniel, like, it's really not that big of a deal, right? Like, my client here, Dan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're acting as your own mediator between yourself and your love.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like bringing yourself to court and then letting yourself have it. Like, it's
it's interesting. These are interesting. It was between the 30 and 35, we got sort of this sense of loss and loss and looking back, and then you're brought into the present and sort of basically a fight.
Yeah.
It's you could connect them or you could not, because there seems to be a new sequence happening.
Yeah.
Actually, if you go back on barbrell.com and listen to the 25 to 29 sonnets, you might be able to like even tie together all of them, which is
fun. Yeah. Or you can try to figure out where it seems like it's not really connecting. Because there are, like, most people sort of split them up into chunks. So
yeah. Well, do that, listener.
Give us your chunks.
And give us your chunks. And that was how'd you like your return to the Sonnet podcast? Feel like,
all right, the weights have lifted off our shoulders. Now I'm excited for the next play.
Yeah, we've been a little less vigilant in our weekly schedules than we had been in the past, because both of us have been busy with theses and work and life and love and loss and lust. Well, Well, most of those.
Most of those.
So we will be looking forward to getting back with you, our beloved listeners, when we are with you next time. We're looking at a play which should be coming out in the next couple weeks. If it doesn't, please be patient with us. In the meantime, why not go to barbrawl.com and leave us a comment and go to the Zounds tab and check out the previous two editions and the upcoming ones, because the theme of the next Zounds, the Mad King.
We're going to be rocking that really soon, too.
May or may not tie into the theme of the next play.
That's true.
And it definitely ties into the theme of a previous play we did called King Lear.
At least one play that we've done.
We're in the next 4 weeks, we'll be putting that together. So if you do have any submissions or artistic inspirations you want to send our way, please do it as soon as you can. You can find all the information at barbrawl.com. Feel free to also contact us on Twitter at the Bard Brawl or on Facebook. We have a Zounds and a Bard Brawl page.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting.
Or
all over the map.
On the Bard Brawl comments.
Yeah.
And
email.
If you know me, you can, you know, carry your pigeon. Whatever works.
Well, I don't love the idea of carrier pigeons in this weather, but
that's true.
They're sturdy birds, aren't they?
Minus 20 is not a problem, right?
Is your cat going to be okay with? My cat would not be cool with a carrier pigeon.
Well, I only need the pigeon to arrive.
Yeah.
And then if the cat gets a hold of it, that's fine. As long as it doesn't destroy the message.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, there you go. We've just solved that conundrum. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you. Right. It's radio or podcast. Mm. We'll be with you shortly.
Yeah.